Twisted listeners, we are joined today by Shauna DeCrosta. She's the first person we have spoken with who has transitioned in and out of education twice. So we are super excited to have her here. So hello, Shauna.
Hello, welcome.
Hello. Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited. So we already chatted about this, but Shauna and I actually have a friend in common. I work with somebody who's a part of her story, so I'm excited to hear that. So tell us what led you to education to start with, and I guess your story, right?
Yeah. So honestly, I was led to education because I had a really difficult time in high school. I had family issues, and I was really badly bullied. Yeah, it was the beginning of kind of the internet, you know, the early aughts. And so people weren't aware of like the bullying that could happen online.
Right, for sure.
So I just kind of suffered silently while I was being told I was fat and to kill myself.
Oh my God, Shauna.
I know. And then meanwhile in school, you know, things would happen, and sometimes like boys would like smack my butt and stuff. And the teachers never noticed. And I remember thinking like, I tried to drop out of school. So in 10th grade, like, I'm kind of done with this. I don't even want to go here. So my mom ended up actually selling her house to pay for me to go to an all girls private Catholic high school. And it really changed my life. So education was the most cathartic thing that could have happened for me. I went there and it was like, I was just accepted by everybody, even though I was a little weird. I was, you know, I was like good at math, but everybody there was smart and brilliant. And I loved being there. And, you know, kindness was important in our culture. It was just great. And from there, you know, I excelled in high school, and then I excelled in college, you know, and I graduated, and I was like, you know what? I really want to make a difference in these kids' lives. So I was always just drawn to that because I knew how hard it was for these kids. And I wanted to be a mentor for them. So
what age or what grade did you transition from the school you were at to your all-girl private school?
10th grade. Yeah. So, and because I tried to drop out, I basically didn't go for a year. So I ended up redoing my 10th grade year, even though it wasn't.
So no, that makes perfect sense to me. Yeah. And I'm so glad that, I mean,
that's awful. Like it's interesting. We've in talking to teachers, we've heard a few incidents of just the horrible bullying, and I'm just so sorry that would happen. That's awful.
I'm so glad that your mom was aware and that she was in the position to be able to make that sacrifice to make that happen for you.
I know. Yeah. She's been a strong woman. So.
Yeah. My mom would have absolutely not hesitated to do something like that. Like I can remember not being bullied or anything like that, but being in a school district that she didn't think was good enough for me to go to, and she would sell her house and we would move so that I could go to a better school. So I completely get that, but I'm so glad that she was able to do that and that you were able. I was afraid for a hot second that when you said you went to the all girls Catholic school, that it was going to be like a fiction book and that was going to be worse. So I'm really, really glad that that was a better setting. That's awesome.
I'm sure that just your empathy is probably overflowing with any of the kids that might be going through anything because you've been there, you know that. And being bullied it doesn't go away. You remember it, you feel it. It's a part of your DNA in your daily life, in every day, everything you do. So
it's so true. Yeah. And in some ways I'm glad it happened, right? It made me who I am today. So
you decided you wanted to be there for kids in the way that teachers, at least at your first high school, were not there for you, that nobody seemed to really realize. Yeah. So you went into teaching. You were a bilingual math teacher.
Right. Yeah.
That's a lot. That's both sides of the brain right there. I'm really impressed.
That is impressive.
Okay, I kind of don't know how I passed the bilingual test. So I'm just being honest. I've always been really good at math, and I ended up taking a lot more Spanish than I wanted to take. I kind of just fell into it. And then they needed a bilingual teacher, and I was like, okay, I'll try. And I remember before I went to take it, my mom was like, this might be the first test you fail. And I walked out and I was like, I passed. So I can read and write Spanish well. Spoken, I get like nervous, you know?
Yeah. I'm
like,
oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, the reading and writing is a lot easier than the speaking, for sure.
So you were teaching in English and in Spanish. You were teaching math.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
I literally just had a brain cramp.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was actually my favorite job probably ever. I loved it. So I had all first year immigrants to Philadelphia, and their stories were amazing. Like, these kids were the best. I loved them. And so, I mean, I actually had students that went from ages 13 to 22, because in the city of Philadelphia, they can still enroll, I think, at 21. But they were so great, and their stories were amazing. Like, I feel like I was, I think, 23. So I learned so much just from these kids. But it was great. And yeah, I honestly couldn't have asked for a better first job.
That is absolutely fabulous. I just can't even imagine. I mean, Kim, you speak or spoke, I don't know, are you still fluent in Italian?
I'm not. I was fluent in Italian and proficient in Spanish, and it's all se fue. No more. I don't know where it went. You have to use it, but I know that I was like, whenever you let anybody in a school know that you understand anything in Spanish or another language, you are certainly the first person they go to. And at the school I was running meetings in Spain. I don't even know, like, they were like, Kim, she's our translator. I'm like, all right. But I just remember running freaking meetings. I translated the CRCT. I read that to them in Spanish from my brain. I don't know what the heck. I'd be fired now. It was bad.
It was better than the nobody else who was going to be able to do it.
I was thinking about that. I was like, oh my God, they put me in charge of all that. I was like, oh, what the hell did I say to all those kids?
I feel the same exact way, to be honest. Like, I could translate their sick notes, though. I was like, you know what? This I can do with confidence. But other than that, I just, oh my gosh. I actually, as a crazy story, just for anyone who wants to know what a teacher's life is like, we had an incident where a girl attacked another girl. So the girl she attacked was Spanish speaking. She literally was kicking her in the face with her leg, hitting her as hard as possible. And all of a sudden, I didn't see it. I didn't witness it. But I get this call like, Shauna, we need a translator. And I'm like, I don't know how I passed this bilingual test. So I'm running. And as I'm going, I had a student who was fluent in both Spanish and English. And I was like, you're coming with me. So he came with me. And in this meeting, I mean, it was horrifying. I kept thinking, I was actually texting my brother-in-law, who's a Philadelphia cop. And I was like, I feel like the police need to be here. Like, but they weren't even called. I was like,
oh my gosh,
I'm just translating this. But luckily, this student's dad came in, and he could have been from a cartoon. He was so big. Like, he was so muscular and tall. And he walked in, and I was like, okay, this guy means business. And he was going to protect his daughter. I just love it. Like, she couldn't have had a better dad.
I just remember being in meetings with the translator, and they would translate incorrectly, and it would just be like, that's not what she said. That's not what she said.
Oh my gosh. How horrible, right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. And I mean, I always used to wonder, because I've had, you know, there's always the kid or the trusty kid or two, and you're like, are they translating what I'm telling them to translate? Or
probably
are
not.
They like, Mrs. Roberts doesn't know what she's talking about. Just ignore her. I don't know.
Right. So you never know.
Right. So you left teaching once then. So what made you decide you wanted a change, or
yeah,
maybe not even a change?
Yep. So this was actually, so So again, this was that same school in Philadelphia. I almost got shot, believe it or not. So I was leaving my classroom. Okay. Yep. I was leaving my classroom and I was walking along the side of the building and one of our students just opened fire on group of students. It made no news sources. It was so crazy to me. So they just started shooting. This is like one of those stories where it was a Friday. It was 3:15 and I had been working overtime the whole week. I was like, I'm leaving at 3:15. I'm out of here. So I get out and I just got like this weird feeling. So like nothing was happening at this point, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to cross the street early. Just had a weird feeling. And if I hadn't crossed that street early, right? If I crossed where I'd normally crossed, I would have definitely been shot. So as I was walking, all of a sudden I just heard gunshots and I'm not familiar with this. So I literally threw everything. So I was wearing heels and a pencil skirt and I threw my MacBook. Like I just threw it. All that I carried was my cell phone, which is crazy that I like my subconscious brain was like, we need the cell. And I ran and because it was like 15 gunshots, actually. I ran behind a car because it was coming towards me. And I'm sitting there and like at this point, like they can, you know, I'm in a skirt, right? So I'm like crouching down. It's not flattering. And all of a sudden down like a parallel street, a car comes and they had like tinted windows. So it was like this big like Escalade and I flag them down to stop. They stop, they throw open their back door. I sprint. I used to be a sprinter. I sprint and I jump in the back of the car. She take the purse. I look up because I'm like, wait, whose car am I in now?
Wait, you know? Who did I just get into? Yeah.
Right, what did I just do? I look up and it's a woman. And I just immediately start crying because I'm like, holy crap.
Absolutely.
She said to me, her first word was, where were you shot? Because that's how close I was to the gun, to the shooter. And I was like, I don't know. Because honestly, it felt like everything was numb. So yeah. I was like, I'm like grabbing my legs. Like, where was I shot? And she picks up her phone and goes, this is officer. So like whatever her name was, I'm an off duty police officer. Oh, I have a teacher in the back of my car. I'm reporting 15 gunshots. I think it was Broad and Green. And I'm like sitting there and I'm like, oh my gosh, like I'm shaking. Like I couldn't even walk. She literally had to hold my arms and like help me walk to find my stuff to get to my car. It was crazy. So that was strike two of the dangerous incidents in that school. And my husband, who is a Philadelphia firefighter, ironically, was like, your job's too dangerous. Yeah. You're not paid enough to do this. So made me quit, actually. And as I said, I love this job. I loved these kids and I love my husband, but it was, we had kids. We had a child at home. Even though I was 23, I already had a son.
Hi.
It wasn't this one, actually. He was actually in my belly, which I didn't know yet.
This story just keeps, my God.
I know. So yeah. So anyway, so he made me resign from that. But that was traumatic in and of itself because I had to say bye to like all of these kids that I love. And I had really been excelling in this position at the time. I was applying for PhD programs in urban education. I was like, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life. I love it. And then I had to resign. And it hurt so much. So that was.
Oh my gosh. There's so much to unpack there. Were there any kids that were injured in the shooting?
So no kids were injured. So again, I mentioned earlier that my brother-in-law is a Philadelphia police officer.
Yeah.
So he did look into this incident and he followed the student who had been shooting. This kid did no jail time. And 2 weeks later, he ended up getting shot and killed because there was a lot of gang violence in that school. But anyway, what really struck me, though, was when I got back to work, all of my students came up to me and they were like, Miss, are you okay? And they kept saying, we were so worried about you. And I'm like, guys, like, you were here too. Like, they were all a part of this, but they were worried about me. And I went home and I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, cause I didn't resign right away. Actually, I went back for a few months. But it was just like crushing to me that these kids who this was their life, you know? Like,
yes. That's, oh my gosh. And talk about PTSD every time you go to leave the school, right? Like,
definitely. So like if someone shut a garage or something, I would like sprint, you know, cause it would be like slam and I'd be like, you know?
Yeah.
It,
oh my wow. God. Whew. No wonder you left education. So obviously you transitioned into something else.
Yes. So as I said, I was pregnant with my second son. So I left teaching at, it was a difficult time, right? Because now you're pregnant. So how do you start
applying
for jobs, you know, as a pregnant woman? During this time, I did have people saying to me, we won't hire you because you're pregnant, which is discrimination, but it did happen.
Well,
Even
a few years ago, I mean, 10 years ago, it was about 10 years ago-ish.
Yeah, he's 10.
I mean, I feel like now people know their rights a lot better than they did even 10 years ago. Like now we know for sure that you can't be discriminated against because you're pregnant. Okay. But back then, who's going to hire me because I'm pregnant?
Right.
Right.
Right. So, yeah. So I stayed home for a while and I came up with a plan to go become an actuary. So while I was in college, I had passed one actuarial exam. So actuaries assess risk for insurance companies. They're like the mathematical backbone of insurance companies. And they have a series of exams to take. It's like 9 to 12 plus exams, depending on which route you take.
Oh my God.
So, and each exam, you have to study for 400 hours per exam.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And mic drop.
I had to study for 400 hours. I mean, I'm sure there's some genius somewhere that can do it for less. What?
How do you log them?
I actually track them because, you know, having two kids, I ended up getting a membership at my YMCA and I would use their childcare for 2 hours a day. And that's how I studied for the actuarial exams. And then obviously after they went to bed at night, I would study. But yeah, so I took that. I passed that when my son was, so like while bit pregnant and then while breastfeeding, I was still studying. And then passed that when he was, I think, 9 months. And then I got a job right away, which was crazy. So I worked.
Well, I mean, I feel like there can't be that many people who go to that, who take those.
So, okay, let me go back to the 400 hours per
exam.
And how many exams were there?
There's, so I had only, I've only passed two. I studied for a third, but depending on the route you take, it's like 9 to 12 exams.
You only passed two. I mean, that's huge.
I've been studying for 800 plus hours.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Okay.
It is crazy.
But you are obviously really good at math already.
Yep.
In general, you're kind of gifted in that area, I would say. Yep. But that sounds like a lot. So
I need to go back to your math. I'm sorry. I'm just fascinated by your math. Like, and I'm going off just a little bit. So has it always been that math has just been so easy that it just came to you? Like,
It sounds like she had to study.
Yeah, I definitely had to study. But yeah, I always just liked it. I used to say to my students, like, you know, because I'm technically, and I'm, this isn't like a brag, but you know, I'm pretty good at math, right? But I used to say to my students, like, what made me so good at math is that I just stuck with it. Like when normal people quit, I just go harder, you know? So that's, I think that's like my secret sauce is I just stuck with it.
It's your superpower?
It's my superpower. Yeah. It's that I can just stick with things that are really hard. But I also enjoy it. Like I like puzzles, that kind of stuff.
Yes. I totally get that. So you started working in the actuarial world?
I did. Yep. So right away I got a job as an actuary. It was in Center City. And I actually, like, to this day, like, I really do enjoy, you know, the actuarial science. I still love it. I love the idea of assessing risks. I used to say I'm the risk assessor. My husband's the risk taker as a firefighter.
That's cute.
Really cute. We're a cute couple. No, just kidding. But at the time, he was working like 96 hours a week. We really didn't have much money. We were young parents, right? Young parents,
right.
Two kids. I was, I think, 24, 25 years old. And it was just really hard. I struggled with the whole going to driving to Center City and then working all day and then you know, right, working and like driving home for now. And then I still had to study because I still had to pass 12 exams. So I did the whole 400 page book for the third exam and I was about to sit for it. And I actually started having panic attacks at work.
God, I don't, it does not surprise me. I think I know, anybody would.
I know. In hindsight, I'm like, duh. But at the time I was
there's
like,
there's a lot of hindsight, duh.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, you're like 25. So you're like, why am I not a superhero? You know, like, why can't I just do this? But so that was hard. I ended up having to resign basically just for my health. So yeah, it was tough. I also didn't have any friends at work. So I felt like kind of alone. And then, you know, my life was just really hard. Like, so I didn't have time for friends outside of work. It was just hard.
I'm going to guess though, that probably at work, there weren't a lot of people who were like your age with young children that you had a lot in common with. So
yeah, there was nobody. I had one woman who was my age who wanted to be my friend and I was like, yeah, this is great. And then she said to me, she was like, oh, I could never do what you're doing with kids. I could just never do that to them. It's cruel.
Yeah.
I was working so much.
So here's like, that piece of the competition of women in the workplace, which is a whole other series of podcasts. But anyway,
you're
so right. You're so right. And I think having gone to that all girls Catholic high school that I talk about, like, I've always believed I see a strong, like, powerful, awesome female. I'm like, she's going to be my best friend. Like, I love, like, it's like, you know,
you don't need to knock her down a few pegs or anything.
I'm like, I'm impressed by you. Like, let's be buddies, you know, like, I don't understand. I don't like, that's not my thing. And I even would say to the girls that I worked with, I'd be like, I'm not trying to be VP. I'm literally just trying not to get fired, you know?
Well, it's a whole Dolly Parton thing going on now because, you know, I'm like, dude, okay. That's again, like people are knocking her down. It's freaking Dolly Parton in a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, good for her. Go for it. Okay. Why are you going to knock her down? And it's women beautiful. Who are knocking her down.
I know. I don't know why.
I got totally off track. I apologize.
That just was kind of a really big, like, right-hand turn.
No, not really, because...
No, but it does make sense. I see your correlation.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you for validating me.
Yes. But you're right. It is women who are like, oh my... And the men are like, dude, she's 77 years old. She looks fantastic.
I know. And I really admire her. She's gorgeous. And just a kind-hearted person.
It's just just women supporting women. And it's more of... It's not a competition. We're not competing with each other. We have to build each other up. So anyway, exactly. I get that. There's a lot of that going on all over.
Yes. Yes, exactly. So I ended up, I resigned, right? And, you know, it was kind of like, I would say it was probably a peak low for me, to be honest with you. Mm. I was like really hurt by it. Because I mean, I told you I'd studied for 800 hours for that job, you know? So it hurt. And shortly after, so this is again, like, sometimes I feel like my story is just like, am I making it up? Like, it's so crazy. why does this stuff happen to me? I ended up getting in a car accident with my kids. And it was right as we were purchasing our forever home. So, you know, our assets are like frozen, right?
Right.
So
right. I like, you like, can't. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, I need to go back to work tomorrow. And I'd been planning to take some time and like really recalibrate, figure out where I wanted to go, but there was no time anymore. So I ended up getting a job in teaching, like just kind of fell into it. And I ended up working for a great school district now. So I was in the suburbs and I loved it. Like, again, I got great kids. I loved it. So that's kind of how I fell back into teaching. And again, I've never had an issue with the students. Like, they are the best. And I really thought at this point, I was like, I'm going to do this forever, you know? So I got a contract at one of the best school districts in Pennsylvania, which is this school district in particular makes you go through hoops to get a contract. So you're observed 9 times, once by the twice by different superintendents. And then, you know, all the principals want to come see you. So I ended up getting a contract on my first try, which is huge there.
Wow.
And yep. And I loved it. So I worked all the time again. And ultimately, again, I planned on staying here forever. But because this school district's so big, it's one of the biggest in Pennsylvania. I think it's one of the biggest. They would move me from different schools. So pretty much every single year I was taken from this middle school to this high school. Then the next year I'd find out, now we're moving you to this high school. Then the next year I'd find out, now we're moving you to this high school. So
really hard to build relationships.
Impossible to build relationships. And I think as you're hearing my story, like friendship is really important to me. Like I love that sisterhood. I love having like a bestie that you can be like, hey girl, like I've got your back. Like, okay, you're sick today. You need help. Like I'm going to do it. Like, don't even ask me questions. Like it's just a comfort to know that somebody has your back. And I never got to build that. It's not that I'm not saying these other teachers weren't like friendly. It's just, it takes time to build friends.
Yeah. So it says that you taught pre-calculus, honors algebra 2, geometry, trigonometry, and statistics. Not all at one time, right? Not all at one time. Not in the same year.
No. So we would get three of those. Well,
God. You had three different preps that?
So it was a block scheduling. So we had two different semesters.
Oh, even better.
So, yeah. So you would normally only teach two courses per. So I guess it was four per year that I would get.
Wow.
And that was the other problem is when you'd move schools, you'd get new preps. So it was like, okay, cool. Now I have a new subject to teach.
And I can't use what I just created for last year because now I'm not teaching pre-calc.
I'm in a high school, but they're moving you because they needed your expertise in those classes. I'm sure.
I still cannot figure it out. I don't know why they did it to me. But so I ended up like, as I'm doing this, I'm like, you know what? Little things start happening in the school that I'm like, I want to be a principal. Like I want to call the shots here. Cause sometimes I would find like teachers ended up being the disciplinarians. And then the principals were like, oh, here's a ginger ale, you know, like, and you're like, no. Yes. Like
in a Pop-Tart, go back to class.
Right. Here's a Pop-Tart. Thanks. You know? And you're like, you just rewarded them. Like, you know, and yeah. So I was like, I want to be a principal because I really think we need better leadership. So, and I'm not actually saying anything bad about any of the individuals. I think it's just, you know, in a big school, I just was like, you know what? I want to do this. So I went to school at night and, I started working towards my principal cert and yeah, I really thought that was what I wanted to do forever. And at one point, one of the former superintendents for our district wanted me to apply for an intern cert and try to apply for one of our open jobs. And at that time, I kind of said to my husband, at this point, we only had two kids. I was like, I want to have another kid. So can we do it now while I have great maternity benefits? Or do you want me to try for a principal? He was like, give it another year and then, you know, try for the principal. So I ended up not doing it. Well, that spring, I found out from my district, they were moving me again. Now, they didn't have a meeting with me, right? They didn't like, hey, Shauna, let's call you. I walked into my school, went to my mailbox and found out I'm being moved. So I immediately just start bawling. Cause I, at
like at the beginning of a school year, like
it was, I think it was like April. So it wasn't, it wasn't quite the end.
And they put it in your mailbox. They didn't even like have a conversation with you.
No conversation with me. And like, that was kind of like the, you know, I was like, guys, like I put so much, like I was working over 60 hours a week. Like you guys know what it is. I was working over 60 hours a week. I love these kids. I was so passionate about this job. I'm going to school at night. Like, I was like, are you kidding me? I had a distinguished rating that year. Like, I was like, really, really? This is the year you moved me again? So like, I couldn't have done a better job. Do you know what I mean? It's kind of what I'm saying. So I just bawl. And at this time, like I was in the faculty lounge and like teachers were just like, why are you crying? And I was like, well, this is my like fifth time being moved. I was like, I'm really upset about this. And none of them really had the sympathy. They were like, yeah, but just be glad you have a Central Bucks job. Oh, so it's fine. Everyone can find out I work in Central Bucks, but you have a Central Bucks job. And I was like, yeah. So but I don't want to be, I didn't sign up to be moved every year, you know,
right.
I had other teaching offers. I was like, I should have gone to one of these other schools. So it was heartbreaking. And after that summer, I ended up applying for jobs within my district where I wanted to go to a middle school because at a middle school, I would have had much more tenure and they couldn't have moved.
Yes. You would have been stable.
I would have been stable. So, and this one middle school I particularly wanted to go to, it's one that has like a worse reputation in our district. And it's a little bit lower income. Like, our district's not low income, but like, this right. is just, you know, I was like, oh, this is where I wanted to be there. So I apply, I go to the interview. I'm like doing my song and dance. At this point, I'm like, how much do I have to prove? Like, I've already proven so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't get the job. They call me, they gave it to somebody right out of college. So I didn't get it. They still wanted me in my, I was in this year. So the switch that they made for me, I was going to be split between two. So I was going
to even better day,
get in my car, drive to the other, and then finish my day. So I was like,
is it common? So that obviously education like is different from state to state. Yeah. It would not be common in any of the states I've taught in where like a contract. Is it a contract teacher? Is that what you call it? Or
contracted? Yeah, like tenured. Like I had tenure. Yeah. Contracted.
But like they,
This story is just blowing me away.
How can they? That just doesn't seem right that they can move you.
So our district is notorious in Pennsylvania for not always treating teachers the best, which I didn't know when I first applied. But I wanted to work there because my kids go there. So I wanted that district. And I was like, I really was like determined to make this best district ever when your kids are there, you know?
So if you teach elementary or middle, you're much more stable location wise than if you teach a highly sought after subject. I mean, not just anybody can roll in and teach trigonometry. So
if they need a trigonometry, AP science classes, those nobody's in school for those courses to be teachers anymore. Like it is. A desert.
So when you got moved to go teach at another high school, did they have another person at the school you just left who could teach those courses?
So I think what they did is because our district's so big, like the numbers would fluctuate.
Yeah.
Okay. So
like,
they just,
if we were a little bit lower than like, I don't actually know how they did. Cause I actually wanted to like come into them and be like, okay, let's talk about how much money you're saving. Because I don't think it's as much as you think. And I really want
like,
to
let me use my actuarial knowledge.
No, I mean,
you're wrong.
But, wow, that's crazy. I am so sorry that that happened to you. Like,
oh, but hold on. So the story gets better. So it's the end of the summer now, and another job opens up at a school where, so I was going to be partially at this school, but it was like a full position, so I wouldn't have had to drive. So I apply there. I go to the interview. I do my whole song and dance. At this point, this is the high school my kids were going to go to. So I was like, I really want to work here. Like, I really want this. This would be awesome. And I had friends there and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is perfect. I was like, maybe this was what it was all supposed to be the whole time.
Yes.
So I'm driving to Trader Joe's with my kids and I get an email. Like, you can't even call me. I get an email saying they chose somebody else over me. Okay.
But you were still going to work there half time, no matter what.
I was still going to end up getting tenure over this person they gave it to. Okay. So at this point I call the math head. I'm hysterical. My kids are in the back seat. I'm sobbing so hard. I'm like hyperventilating. Okay. And I'm like, who got this over me? Like who got it? So it turns out the person who got that middle school job over me, the person right out of college, also got this high school job over me. Okay.
So you're like, can I have the middle school job now?
So at this point I call the superintendent because I used to have a good relationship with him. And I was like, I'm leaving. And he was like, no, you're a great teacher. We want to keep you. He was like, look, I'll do whatever it takes. Like, you want that middle school job? I'll make it happen. And I was like, no, like, I want to be appreciated for the work that I'm doing. If a good teacher, right? You can't pay teachers what they deserve, right? We can all admit that. You can't pay me what I deserve, but you can treat us well. You can treat us well. And if a teacher who's doing a great job in a high school says, I want to go to this middle school, you say, yes, yes, whatever you want. Like, that's what you say to a good teacher. So I right then there on the spot, I said to my husband was like, all about it. He was like, please resign. Please resign. So I resigned. I had no plans. I had no backup. I had no idea what I was going to do. And I just resigned.
I mean, your story is like next level. Like, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. Yeah, so that's why I wanted to share it, because I left and it was kind of like after being in almost like an abusive relationship.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. You're like, you know, I knew I was smart. I knew I was hardworking. My students loved me. And even when they found out I was moving, they were all like, why don't they move Mr. So-and-so? He's a terrible teacher. He's a mess. You know? Like, and I was like, guys,
the kids
why?
Know. They know who the bad, okay. They knew, yeah, they know who the lesser equipped teachers are, you know, I mean.
Absolutely. They do. Like, sometimes I'm like, these kids should run these schools. Like, it would be great. Just give it to them. But yeah, so it was, and it was just hurtful. Like, I really felt unappreciated by everybody. So I wanted to talk to you guys because if there's a teacher out there who feels this way, who's like, no, I really am unappreciated. I work so hard. I work 60 hours a week. I make like what, $50,000 a year. Like, you know, I work all the time. And I used to make like cookies for my students when they did their final exams. And I'd say, you are one smart cookie. I'd like make this little printout. I'd give it to each of my 90 students. Like, you know, and I loved these kids, you know, I went like above and beyond, and it's like, and this is how I get treated. So it's like, you're in a profession really where it's kind of like, they sometimes it feels like they don't care, right? They're like, oh yes, you're skilled, and yes, you have 8 years of experience, but you know what, this person right out of college is cheaper, so we like them better, you know.
I see.
Yeah so that's what hurt me. And I don't know what decisions were involved or like why they didn't like me. I think sometimes principals like the newer teachers because they're like, they can mold them with their ideology.
They're malleable. They can mold them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can change them.
Yeah. And I used to allow retakes on all of my tests too, because to me, like, it's about learning, right? So if a kid fails a math, I didn't want the kids to have that stress, you know, like, oh no, I messed up on a test. Like, I wanted them to know, like, come back tomorrow. Let's go over it. Let's review that test. You go home. You think about what you did wrong. Like, and let's fix it. Let's come back. And they can get whatever their second grade was, because really that's all that matters. Did they learn the material or not? Do they understand it? Like, some kids aren't going to learn math like this, right? Some kids are going to need a little bit more time. I didn't want them to not have that opportunity. So I really did work extra because I wouldn't just grade the test once. I stayed after with them and then I graded it twice. You know?
Yes. And you probably created a different test and that it wasn't exactly the same, or it was open-ended.
Yeah, no, I definitely created a different test because I don't want them to just memorize the answers. Yeah.
Wow. I'm amazed by you. Like, we've interviewed, I will tell you right now, and we've had fabulous teachers, but your story is it's pivotal. It's like, it's so impactful. And
thanks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have a happy ending? Please tell me you have a happy ending.
It has a very happy ending. So yeah, that's what I wanted to say. So like, I left, right? And I felt beaten down. I remember even working with Ellen, who we know together. Ellen, I was connected to her through Villanova, which is where I went to school. And she helped me to edit my resume. And I remember at the time, like, I have a great mom. My mom was like, because I kept saying, maybe I'll just go get my MBA. Maybe I'll just go get a degree. Like, my mom's like, you don't need more school. You're intelligent. Don't go back to school. And in hindsight, she was so right. And I connected with Ellen, and Ellen was like, you really need to just learn how to market yourself. And she was like, what do you want to do? And I think this is the problem with teachers. Like, I really think this is the problem. Teachers can do anything and they can kick butt at it, right? We are organized.
But they have to know how.
We just have to figure out where to go, right? Because like, it's kind of like, I could do this, I could do that, I could do anything. Like, I can connect with people, right? We're smart, we're hardworking, we show up on time, we show up at 7 a.m. Are you kidding me? Like, sometimes I was there at 5:30. Like, who else does that, you know? And then people are like, oh, but you get summers off, you're lazy. No, we don't. I think, you know, my advice to like somebody who's thinking about leaving would be, you know, kind of figure out what you want to do, because I bet you can do it, and then figure out how to market yourself towards that, because you definitely have the skills already. You already have the skills. So for me, I ended up landing in sales, which I think isn't a smooth transition for teachers. You're already selling material, right?
Right.
None of these kids are showing up and thinking, I really want to learn, I really want to learn about parabolas today. Like, nobody's thinking that. Okay. So you're selling it to them.
I've never thought that. That's never run through my mind ever.
Yeah. Like, you're selling it to them. You're getting a buy-in. And then you're teaching it, and you're making them work. Okay. So you're making them buy stuff, basically.
Yeah.
So sales is natural. And that's what I first did. And then I ended up, my husband was actually talking to someone and he was like, my wife's the smartest person in the world. She's so good at math. It's like, it's adorable. But he was like, she passed actuarial exams. And then that's actually how I got my current position. So that's my other piece of advice, is to surround yourself by the people who appreciate teachers. Because there are a select few who don't, right? And don't listen to them. They're wrong, right? We all know they're wrong. And surround yourself by the people who love teachers and who appreciate what you do, because they will go out of their way to help you. So that's basically how I ended up in where I am. And I wanted to share too, I ended up pregnant. So I worked where I was for 2 years. Or a year, maybe, I don't know, some amount of time. And I ended up getting pregnant with twins. Yeah. So, and I left. So, and when I left, my whole team like threw a baby shower for me. They gave me an incredibly generous gift. They sent me flowers. They checked in on me. They missed me. I came back, and they've just treated me like gold. If I say to them, like, I'm having a bad day, they're like, take off, Shauna, take care of yourself. It's like
these are words
and day. Yeah. It's like, I'm appreciated, and I think, I wanted to be an administrator, right? I wanted to be a principal. I wanted to actually be a superintendent one day, but I'm glad I'm not. I think as for administrators who are listening to this, and they should be, right? Because they want to keep their school full of good teachers.
Right.
They should be listening to your podcast. I think appreciate your teachers. If they need to leave for 40 minutes to go to the doctors, don't make them get a sub.
Yes.
Don't make them fill in those 40-minute hours, because you know what they're going to do? They're going to leave next week. They're going to find a job that says, oh, you're going away for 40 minutes. Don't even log it.
Nobody in the real world cares at all. No. I felt really bad. There was a transition teacher who I referred her to my company, and she got the job and is so exciting. And on her first week, her 2-year-old was sick, like sicker than just sick. And I'm like her husband, like they worked it out, but she was so nervous about it. And I'm like, if you have to take a day, it's okay. Like everybody, it's so different. You have that teacher trauma built in that you
so
feel like
true.
You're sick. What am I going to do? Like, who do I have to tell? And literally it's like one quick ping letting somebody know and you're just off.
I know. And they're no, we don't care. We really don't care. Yeah. Like, please.
Right.
Yeah. They're like, please take care of yourself, because we want you for the long term. Right. It's
right.
Business.
So then. Different.
So different. Like, I'm not just a commodity. I'm a person. So.
Yeah. So you love what you're doing now.
Yeah. I love what I'm doing. And I still am making a difference, so I work in healthcare, I work in pharmaceutical data. So we do different things for pharmaceutical companies, but sometimes we'll work to help, make sure that patients are getting insurance coverage. We sometimes will have projects where we're targeting like homeless populations, different things like that. But most of all, I just love how I'm treated. I have an amazing boss who just goes above and beyond for me. And really, I mean, he always says thank you. Like, it's like, I'll do something. He's like, oh, thank you. And I'm like, really?
Thanks? You're like, it's just my job. I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do. Isn't it crazy that teachers spend their entire life, hopefully doing good and helping the kids that they teach and doing everything for other people, but then people don't treat them in the school the way they should be treated. Like, it's like teachers are giving and giving and giving, but then there's not that return. Emotional return. I don't know.
I think that too, like, as you know, in my position, I'm a coach, instructional coach at the school. And I feel like half my day is just like, I'll go, like today I spent like 40 minutes going down one of the halls, just checking in. Like, how are you doing? How are you doing? And because the only time people go into the classroom is usually for evaluation.
Yeah.
I don't evaluate. So I was just thinking about that today, how much that means for someone to say, hey, how are you doing? Just a random person coming in. Well, I'm not random. Right. They know who I am, but
I mean, that's good.
No, I just, I don't know. I think it's important to feel appreciated. And I think it's important to be acknowledged for the work you do. And with your story, that is so powerful. Because I think we get into this groove of, this is what's expected of me. I'm expected to do these things. I'm expected to do the extra work and do all the great other things that I do. But really, if we don't do them, then we get looked at as people that who are not doing their jobs, or they're not stepping up to the plate. They're not team players, which is like so condescending, because we're not a team in a school. We're not a family in a school. It's just not, it's not appropriate.
Yep. Exactly. Yeah. It's really sad to me. It's really sad to me. And I even feel like torn, because any teachers that are listening, you know, I'm like, no, please stay where you are.
Please stay. Know? Yes. We need good teachers. Right.
Yeah. Like, cause I've got kids, I've got four kids. They need somebody who's going to be kind to them, you know? And I know it's a hard job. It's, you know, it's hard. Yes. It's really hard. Yeah. And I don't know. It's like, and I feel like as a mom, like I've been on both sides, you know, like I've seen, you know, I've had situations where teachers didn't act how I would have liked, you know?
Right.
And that's I talked to a teacher today who's having trouble with her child's teacher. And we kind of talked through that. And I was in there for something else. And she was like, she's like, it's so hard to be a teacher, to have a problem with another teacher. It's really hard.
It is really hard. And especially when you're like, but this is how I did it. Like, I used to go above and beyond for these kids, you know, like, can somebody just like put in a little, like just a little bit for mine, you know? Like,
yeah,
I don't know. It's hard. But again, I'm like, you know what, at the end of the day, it's like, they're not treated well, you know?
No.
Hard.
Right. Yeah. I think that's the big part. And I don't know what the answer is. I wish I did. I mean,
I know. I almost feel like it's like a cultural adjustment that needs to happen too. Like, I think people do need to hear stories about like, oh, this is what I did for, you know, a living. And cause you still hear people sometimes that are like, teachers are overpaid. And I'm always like,
Are you insane? Yeah.
Like, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Like, well, I think part of it too is that, you know, and I'm on social media quite a bit, but we still have to be very careful not to say anything negative about the district. Now I know that there's some districts who are putting caveats in like their contracts or their, I guess, their manuals that we go through every year, not to talk about the district in social media, not to talk about the district negatively in social media. And they're starting to, because teachers are, again, we have to talk about like the appropriateness of complaining about where you work, you know, and the fact that that's, you know, social media is not probably the place. Your friend in the lounge is probably the better place to do that. But people don't, teachers don't have a voice. And so what they're doing is they're going on TikTok and they're having these teacher rants and it's not helping them at all. It's not helping. And they're going on LinkedIn doing the same thing.
No, it doesn't help the perception, the public's perception of what education is. I don't remember, Kim, who we interviewed. It's been maybe a year and a half ago, who basically said that they think public education is going to have to burn itself to the ground before it can be rebuilt and become something and become what it needs to be now.
Well, and you're not the first person we've talked to that said it was like an abusive relationship. It's going to get better. Yeah. I'm going to promise you these things. Okay.
Right.
I'm signing up.
Right.
And then the whole thing happens again.
Yeah.
I would almost like to have a second interview at some point with you to see how things are going. I think this is a very powerful, pivotal discussion.
Yeah.
I really do.
I appreciate you.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate you guys. I'm like really excited to share the story because it's it's honestly therapeutic, you know, because it was so hard. And for so long, I was like, what is wrong with me? You know?
Absolutely nothing. I think, I mean, and you gave it a try twice. And
yeah,
literally were shot. I mean, like, there's nothing.
I know. And there are great people, like, in where I worked, you know, and there are great people. I don't think it's an issue with the people. I almost kind of agree with the person who was saying it's just like the whole thing.
Like a systemic problem that has to be addressed. How? I don't have those answers. I don't know, but
I know. But I have a niece. Yeah, I would say, like, for an administrator, though, like, go out of your way to be good to your teachers, like, whatever it takes, you know, like, if it's, you know, you get a bonus check or whatever, I don't know, maybe, you know, a 12th of that could go towards even just like getting them coffee one day, or, you know what I mean? Like, just little tiny things like, hey, I appreciate you. Or, you know what, something goes wrong and a parent's calling you, have their back.
Yeah, right. I will say that to your teachers. I've had good, like, where I am now.
Yeah.
I've had issues with my family and dad, and they're like, do what you got to do. We support you. But I'm also not in the classroom. So,
right. That's, you know, that could be the difference. Like, they don't have to cover your classroom or, you know, make a solution.
But I think you're just okay.
It would be probably. I think it's really important that the people who are in charge, the administrators, that they remember what it was like. And
yes,
I mean, that they, I don't know what it is they can do. I mean, what happens in general is that it's up to teachers to try to create joy for other teachers because they're on, like, the social committee or whatever. So then they plan, like, an event or a potluck or whatever. And then you end up bringing your own, like, it's not a treat for you because then you have to bring in something to share, which is not a big deal. I'm not saying that, but I'm just, the things that are supposed to be for teachers are done by teachers.
Yeah,
I know. So actually the district I was in, they would, like, some of the parents, like some of the PTA would put together potlucks for the teachers.
Oh, that's nice.
And they organized it and they orchestrated the whole thing. So yeah, like, now that you're saying this, I'm kind of like getting some ideas for my kids' schools.
But there you go. Like, maybe that's the problem, is so many parents are not really necessarily supportive, but I know that if a few parents are supportive, it makes a world of difference.
Supportive parents that we need to be louder for us.
Yes.
Yeah. You're right.
And I don't know. I have a niece. She's a young teacher. And she's already starting to think, like, what else could I do? I told her the other day, like, and she has two little ones, but I'm like, if you don't want to be a teacher forever, then you need to start as you can, like, not in a hurry, but start upskilling in a way that the future you will be really, like, happy with what you did now. Even if it's 20 minutes a day, what can you start working through?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she's like, I don't have any time. And I'm like, so don't grade everything, or there's suggestions out there. Find a time to make time for yourself or for your kids or for whatever.
Right. So. Yeah. It's not easy. It is really not easy. Yeah.
Do you have a good work-life balance now?
I do. Yeah. Much better. It was funny because actually someone just said to my husband the other day, they just said to him, like, oh, you probably miss her being a teacher and having all that time. And my husband was like, I am so glad she's not a teacher anymore. It was like, I see her sometimes now.
Yeah.
So it was great just to see it from an outsider. He was like, I don't miss her being a teacher at all. Like, the summer's off thing, like, you still get vacations.
Right. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. My husband loves in August that I'm not spending a fortune setting up a classroom.
That and the fact that I would be like, I would just be so anxious, you know, because I'd be like, okay, like, you know, this was my break and now I get to go run a marathon, you know,
exactly
at a sprint pace, like a marathon at a sprint. So
definitely am not miss. I mean, I miss kids, like talking to kids. I miss talking to kids. I miss talking to kids about books.
Yeah.
I miss reading out loud. Like there's a lot of stuff I miss.
Me too.
But there's a lot of stuff that I don't miss and that I have a better work-life balance. So
I miss the idea of it, if that makes sense. Like,
yeah. It makes perfect sense. And I think I identified so deeply with being a teacher, like that for the first year that I transitioned, if you asked me what I did, I would say I was a teacher, but now.
Mm-hmm. Me too. I did the same. I was a math teacher. Yeah, I did. I actually still kind of do that. Like
sometimes. Yeah. It depends on who I'm talking to. Like if I feel like they would value education or, I'll throw it in there.
Yeah.
But at the same, like, but then you also, then you feel guilt because you were a teacher and now you're not. So that means you like, you know, quit or whatever.
Right. Like you gave up. Yeah.
Yeah. You gave up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a tangled web.
It is.
We appreciate your time and
yes, Shauna, seriously. And, so
thank
much.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm like thrilled to be here.
Yes. Oh, well, I hope you have a wonderful night and we hope everyone stays twisted.